I have a lot of papers up here. Andrew does it on his iPad. Well, as you know, Andrew and Amanda are off to their old stomping grounds this week. I've had the pleasure of looking after their two kittens, very sweet little cats. I go and visit them, I sit on the couch and read, hoping that the kittens will come out and cuddle. One does. He is a little more curious, a little more trusting, but the sister sits back and watches, keeps an eye on me, checks on me one time, makes sure I feed her. But she knows I'm the substitute for the week. I'm not her mom, I'm not her dad. I think she prefers her dad. But because I am checking on her and keep caretaking with her and feeding her, she will tolerate me. I'm being a substitute here with you all this week as well. And since it is the first Sunday of the month, you will be fed under my watch, just like those kittens. But again, luckily for you, I did not bake anything in that room. So we will be fine. I think about having a substitute minister for the day. It's kind of like having a substitute teacher. You pray for the best, but expect the worst. Because even if it's not Andrew's best day, you know what to expect from him. He'll be up here, refer to some TV show or movie or book that he's knee-deep in. He'll stroke his beard, and he will teach us solid Bible interpretation. Andrew is smart and funny and easy to listen to, so there is comfort in knowing how the message will go. With the substitute, especially one you've never had before, you worry. Will they be funny? Luckily for you, I'm hilarious. But the substitute could be great at remembering names and have breath, but have bad breath. I hopefully am the opposite. I'm terrible with names, but I did brush my teeth. In many ways, the stand-in will be the same as, but in some ways better, in some ways worse. We get too comfortable in spaces when we think we know more. Some of you have been attending this church for dozens of years, and you know some Bible stories. You can sing the hymns without looking at the screen or opening the book, but some of you are newer, and you may not even know yet what you don't know. How we feel in any situation influences our confidence. If we are going to talk big or keep to ourselves. The scripture today from Mark is a little bit about this idea of comfortable spaces. We will see that Jesus is back home again in Nazareth and getting ready to speak at the local synagogue. I imagine he's filling in for the regular speaker, and people are wondering what he's going to say. I'm sure they've heard about his ministry at this point. He's made a name for himself, that Jesus. He has performed miracles and had disciples managing the crowds that follow him. Today, he is stepping up to preach in a setting where just a few years ago, he sat in the pews. And he is speaking to a crowd that knows a thing or two about a Jewish message. So this should go pretty smoothly. But does it? Let's read from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 to find out. A side note, I don't know that you've ever heard Steve Klink giggle. He did today because he created those slides. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came and he began to teach in the synagogue, many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense to him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were sick and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. While some in the crowd were floored with Jesus' message, many were not. Who is this guy, they thought? Didn't he grow up around here? How could he know these things? He's just Jesus, that weird kid that never got wet in swim class. Many of his listeners could not hear the message because they were put off by who he was before he even said a thing. They were making their choices based on old information. So maybe some of you are waiting for me to start talking about homelessness because that's what you probably remember about me. Some of the Nazarenes did not want to give Jesus a chance. He was not worthy of their time. Well, like any good substitute preacher who sees murmuring in the pews, Jesus responds with action. He will show them exactly who he is and what he can do. Let's continue with Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place would not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. May God bless this reading. In response to the ambivalence of the crowd, Jesus arms his followers with more power than they had yet been given. He believes that the crowd is seeing him as the same kid from the streets and could not imagine that he could know what he knows now. To the crowd, Jesus was a small fish, just a substitute preacher. Jesus says, "Nope, I am more." He calls upon his friends to help with what he is unable to do by himself. He sends them out to show what you can do when you listen to Jesus. And if you don't want to listen to him, fine, but at least look and listen to the message of his disciples. Jesus will not let the value of his message be determined by the crowd's response. He knows that he has value and his message is from God. Jesus walked back into Nazareth as a pretty big fish. He had been preaching for a while, and those who listened found God in his gospel. Many even believed that he was the chosen one. However, the people in his hometown synagogue responded as Jesus was just the same small fish that he had always been. That what he had to say wasn't as important as what they already knew, because he didn't seem special to them. We have all been in that place where we think we know what we're doing, what we're saying, that we are on point. Maybe it's not in front of a classroom or a sanctuary, but it could be in a conference room, at a family dinner, or even just out with friends. We are feeling good, feeling confident, feeling like we are a big fish, but maybe we open our mouth and only bubbles come out. The view we had of ourselves suddenly feels deflated, and we see ourselves as just a minnow swimming around looking for a place to hide. Jesus could have walked out of that service in Nazareth and thrown up his hands. He could have worried that these people see right through me because they knew him. Their reaction could have rightfully caused Jesus to have some doubts. Could have, but didn't. Jesus did not give in to the response of that restless crowd. He did not let them have the last say about his message. Instead, he realized he needed to find a different way to communicate. He brought in his buddies. and sent them out with the same message. Jesus knew that their reaction was about them, not about him, because they were focused on who he was. They didn't want to listen to what he was saying. But it is not our audience that defines us or determines the worth of our message. When we have something important, something true, and something godly to say, it does not matter what they think of us. Friends, it is not the perception of if we are a small fish or a big fish that matters. In fact, those two fish are the same size. Our words are what matters. Are we speaking truth? Are we sharing God in what looks like and feels good to our audience? I don't think Jesus ever worried about what he was saying or doing because those two things were always in line with each other. He walked and talked a message of hope. He loved friends as much as enemies. He cared for strangers as well as friends. Jesus performed miracles and allowed his disciples to do the same. Hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down. You're the fish. Sometimes the small one, sometimes that big daddy. But if you are a follower of Jesus, be a follower of Jesus in all that you say and do. Then it won't matter the size of the pond you're in. Your message will be the focus. When we act like disciples and shake off when others do not welcome us, it is easier to shake off that criticism or rejection when we know that we are being true to our God. When we lie, cheat, steal, or act without love, we know it. We feel the guilt that comes with those choices. Jesus says, shake it off and do better next time. When you know better, do better, says Maya Angelou. Being a Christ follower is not about being the big fish. It's about being the best version of ourselves and sharing that with others, no matter who the others are or where we find ourselves. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, there are so many stories about fish in your book, it was hard to know where we were going to go today. But we went to the heart of your message, which is to love you, love our neighbor. To be true to you means being true to ourselves and really vice versa. We ask for your help as we leave today, Lord, to remember that what we say matters, how we act matters, because it shows you to the world who maybe hasn't read that Bible and know all those fish stories. So we ask you to give us the strength and the discernment to be able to be true to you, to show your love with all that we encounter in this world. Amen.